This bigger...
This is about Bernanke. This is about Bernanke. He has to be on that call. Forget the investors. The investors are going to do... Bernanke needs to open the discount window. That's how bad things are out there. Bernanke needs to focus on this. Alan Greenspan told everyone to take a teaser rate and then raise the rate 17 times. And Bernanke is being an academic. It is no time to be an academic. It is time to get on the Bear Stearns call. Listen, open the darn Fed window. He has no idea how bad it is out there. He has no idea. He has no idea.
Kramer.
I have talked to the heads of almost every single one of these firms in the last 72 hours, and he has no idea what it's like out there. None! And Bill Poole has no idea what it's like out there. My people have been in this game for 25 years, and they are losing their jobs, and these firms are going to go out of business, and he's nuts! They're nuts! They know nothing!
Kramer.
I have not seen it like this since I went 5 bid for a 500,000 shares of Citigroup and I got hit in 1990. This is a different kind of market, and the Fed is asleep.
Okay, but here's the
thing. Bill Poole is a shame. He's shameful.
Hold on. I know
you're passionate. He doesn't know what we did, credit and home document. At least I read the darn thing.
Hold on. I know you're passionate, and I hear you, but at the same time, a lot of people are saying this is, yes, there's certain types of mortgages that aren't available. But Kramer, if you did what you said, which seems to me from the way
cut the rate. Open the discount window.
Okay,
cut the rate. We'll leave the pressure.
Week and cuts rate.
We'll leave the pressure.
You're going to have, that's going to cause Armageddon.
No, we have Armageddon. I wouldn't try to cause this. We have Armageddon. In the fixed income markets, we have Armageddon.
No, but that's not
what
they
say. We have Armageddon.
They say, even when I talk to a couple
of
banks,
they
don't say it's Armageddon. They say it's repricing. They're very firm about that.
Oh, great. Okay, well, let them be calm and then have them call me on the way home like they do every night and tell me, Kramer, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to help us? Are you going to help us? Are you going to stand on the sideline like everybody else and say that it's fine? Will somebody come on TV and tell the truth about how bad it is?
But a lot of people say, these same people say, it's not Ben Bernanke and the rate that matters. The bond market
is completely separate from the rate. Look, we'll spend billions in Iraq to build homes. We are going to have thousands of people. Look, we have thousands of people losing their homes right now. 14 million people took a mortgage in the last 3 years. 7 million of them took teaser rates or took piggyback rates. Mm-hmm. They will lose their homes. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be upset about it, but you have to understand what they're saying to me off the record before I come in here every night and every day, and what I hear from these blowhard managers who act like it's call someone, for heaven's sake. Go call someone. I worked at fixed income at Goldman Sachs. This is not the time to be complacent.
All right.
Sometimes I wish I didn't know anybody so I could just sit here and say, you know what? Just go buy some Washington Mutual and take that yield. Unfortunately, I know too many people, and I'm too darn old.
You are. Hey, Jim, there's been some buzz about your stop trading hit. Let's talk about it.
I had a lot of soul searching. I think people should first recognize that before I went out there on Friday at 2:47, and a lot of people think they blame me, the stock picker, the reaction is pretty good. They have to understand why I made the call. First, I've been around for a long time. I've traded bonds. I've traded SNL paper that went out of business soon after I helped issue it. I'm friends with a lot of the people in the I'm friends with the guy who runs the number one mortgage brokering industry and then corporation and the number four. And I'm also integrally involved with a lot of the trading desks, given the fact that I've been around and the people who run these trading desks, both equity and bonds, have known me for a long time. So I didn't go on ill-considered. I spent a lot of time trying to I joke about being a statesman on Mad Money, but really kind of I don't throw chairs anymore. I've been kind of methodical about what I have to talk about. And I found myself thinking, okay, we're in front of a big Fed meeting. I've seen the comments from William Poole. Let me go outside of character for a second and talk about the humanity of the situation. As someone who is a history buff, who spent a lot of time analyzing what happened in the Depression, spent a lot of time analyzing 87 and 1990, I felt that there were people who knew that things were breaking down in the Depression. They knew that the forgotten man was going to be forgotten. There were people who were quite aware of the stress in the system in 1990 and in 1987 and also in 1998, 87, because there were people who recognized that portfolio insurance was a bad thing, so that would help accelerate the decline. And I felt like, well, you know what? I've been around for a long time. I've been talking to all my friends who are much more frightened behind the scenes than they would admit. Why don't I just, let me think about what I want to do here. And I said, maybe this is one of those times where I'll look back and I'll say, I had a platform, I had a pulpit, I had a chance to say something that would have made it so that the 7 million homeowners, whom I think are very much exposed to this problem, 14 million homes were sold in 2005 to 2007. I think half of them got teaser rates, which were suggested, frankly, Alan Greenspan thought they're good thing. So I said, maybe this is my chance to say what I feel could happen and what should happen. And I'm not going to go back there. I've done that. I made my plea on Friday. And I think there's a lot of people who felt it was ill-considered. The way I look at it is that I want my conscience clean. When things unravel in the way that I've spoken, I don't want to look back and say, I had a chance to do something, but I came on instead, and I talked about how Procter & Gamble had a good quarter, why Cabela was up. So it was more my conscience speaking. Conscience isn't supposed to speak on TV or anywhere else. You're supposed to just be cool and calm. But, I kind of wanted to look at the world and say, I spoke up. And I knew, and I spoke up. I'm done speaking up. I'm now going to go back to where I was and talk about how I think there is a good case to be made for Procter & Gamble in this environment. I've done what I had to do. But if things play out, not when things play out, the way that I think they will do, I will be proud of the fact that I said something. And that's why I said what I did on Friday.
Tell it like it is.
Yes.
Jim Cramer, Brittany Umar, you're watching Wall Street Confidential. All right, Jim, let's talk about the home builders.
People don't understand that the home building industry is $35 billion. You add all of them up, it's $35 billion. That's a quarter of what ATT's worth. So it's not an important industry. I've been following the HGX, which is the Philadelphia Housing Index. I've been saying that goes to 120. It was in the 170s today. This is an unimportant industry. And if it goes, we shouldn't panic about it. There are some players that are far worse than other players. SPF is a player that was still adding land at the wrong time. I feel like the KB Homes is a very challenged company. Pulte Home adding lands at the same rather than subtracting land. These are companies that needed to shore up their balance sheet. The only two that I saw shore up their balance sheet was NB Homes and MDC. So I want to tell people that there's two concerns here. One, don't be surprised if a home builder goes under. They used to go under all the time. And secondly, please remember that this is a very small industry. And you should not base your decisions about Procter & Gamble and Medco Health based on any problems in the home building industry, just as you should not base your decision about buying Kimberly-Clark and a CVS, which stock I own for ActionAlertsPlus.com, on the possibility that more mortgage brokers will go under. If you're a mortgage broker, by the way, there's no one who will lend to you. And those companies, and I think this is very important, they don't have a deposit base. The guys who were lending badly in the 2005-2006 period were home builders and these mortgage brokers who did not have a deposit base, meaning they weren't banks. Countrywide should do better because they have a bank, and Washington Mutual should do better because they have a bank. But what I'm saying is, when a home builder goes under, don't panic, and it probably will happen. And when the rest of the mortgage broking industry goes under, except for, I believe, Countrywide, maybe Thornburg Mortgage, again, don't panic. These are not big industries, and a lot of the damage has already been done.
Okay, don't panic. Home builders, maybe not such an important industry. Jim Cramer, Brittany Umar, Wall Street Confidential. Okay, let's talk about a good defense for defense. Defense stocks.
There are a few companies that are going to hold up in this period.
All right, Jim, the Fed's announcement coming out tomorrow. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, let's understand that there are two things. There's one thing that I want to have happen, which is a recognition that there's a slowdown because of this mortgage mess. And another thing that I think will happen, which is I think they'll ignore it. Maybe they'll put in a line saying they're less worried about inflation now. But this Federal Reserve has decided, I think, that it doesn't need to play a role. The previous Federal Reserve under Greenspan suggested that it was a great opportunity to take these teaser rates, which is really where the problem started. And now it's spread to all sorts of speculators who are going to go belly up. I think that this Federal Reserve basically says, listen, if you speculated, you're going to lose, and we're not going to bail out the speculators. What I would hope is that at least another part of the government would then make loan guarantees to the poor people who took these products and don't know. But I'm not looking for any break from the Fed, and that's why I'm saying I spoke my piece on Friday on stock trading. I want to make it very clear. I am a guy, I'm a renter, I'm looking to buy a house. I have actually no money in the game whatsoever. All I own is my charitable trust, ActionAlertsPlus.com, which I don't really own, I can't profit from. And a huge amount of cash because I'm not allowed to invest. I've divested all of my real estate except for one property. So I just have cash. I have nothing. I have nothing that could be affected by my call. I did feel that I am, to some degree, because I have a national following through thestreet.com and through TV, that I couldn't live with myself if I said nothing. I have tried to be statesmanlike. It's obviously not getting through to anybody. But I just felt like, you know what? I don't want to look back a year from now and say, well, 7 million people lost their homes and families lost their homes. And I had a chance to be able to say to Bernanke and to William Poole, whom I think has been reckless, look, guys, this is a real problem. And I did it. And from now on, I'm going to adopt an attitude that they will do nothing, and I'm going to recommend stocks that do well in an atmosphere where the Federal Reserve chooses not to make the case, chooses to ignore the problems in the system. I make money either way. I can now live with myself that I said what I did, but it's my job to try to find ways to make money and find bull markets. So I'm done with that particular screed.
Okay. Scoop on the Fed's announcement tomorrow. Okay. Jim Cramer, Brittany Mark. Okay, Jim, you recently wrote an article on realmoney.com about AmeriSave. What's going on here?
Well, what's interesting is that, and you hear it and see it, but we still have in the system mortgage brokers who are claiming that they can give you money for nothing, basically. And I find that this is a sign that there is still an unrealistic nature to the whole crisis. www.amerisave.com is a come-on site, which basically says, look, we'll give you the money. You don't have to worry about a thing. That's exactly what got us in trouble. I would hope at a certain point this irrationality would stop. Now, if we look at the stocks, like if we look at IndyMac today, if we look at stocks like Novastar today, which did a big split last week, a reverse split, it's right back to where it was. Obviously, if we look at the American Home, which really doesn't shouldn't be trading at all, Freeman Billings, which has exposure, even though they were the ones who used an NFI price target of zero, what you're seeing is these companies are not going to recover, I believe, in part because they can't get funding. They can't get warehouse loans. The only one that I see that is an exception would be Accredited Home Lending. They're selling themselves for $15 to an outfit called Lone Star. Now, if Lone Star is solvent, they got to pay that $15. If it's not solvent, then I think that it won't matter. But I point that one out because that was one that was managed to escape before everything unraveled. AmeriSave is endemic of what I think is this unrealistic nature that the Federal Reserve, the government seems to have no interest in protecting people from what will turn out to be a rapacious capitalism, because the rates will go up. They've already gone up dramatically. People can't refinance. There are 7 million homeowners and families that bought property in the between 2005, beginning of 2005 and the end of 2006 that I count as being subprime. Now that these rates are being reset, subprime, everything can be made into subprime by a home equity loan that you take, including the prime. So what I see is that I'm talking about 7 million homeowners who made and got AmeriSave-like loans that I believe will go under. Now, I said my piece on Friday in a very fiery stop trading section in CNBC that this is going to happen. I've now said my piece. It is going to happen, and I'm ready to move on to the new world. I don't think that the government will come to our rescue. I think this government in particular, and this Federal Reserve in particular, thinks that that's too, you know, that it's fine. If they think it's fine, I'll find a way to profit from it.
Okay. Scoop on AmeriSave.com. Jim Cramer, Brittany Umar, Wall Street Confidential.